middle of it was a pair of very frightened eyes. "Plunge it into boiling water," said Mrs. Clamp. "That's what it said in the cookbook. It never said, 'Watch out, it'll grip the sides of the pot and spring straight up in the air!'" She flailed around with the broom handle. The squid shrank back. "And that pasta's all gone wrong," she muttered. "I've had it grilling for hours and it's still hard as nails. The wretched stuff!" "Cooey, it's only me," said Nanny Ogg, poking her head around the door, and such was the all-embracing nature of her personality that even those who didn't know who she was took this on trust. "Having a bit of trouble, are you?" She surveyed the scene, including the ceiling. There was a smell of burning pasta in the air. "Ah," she said, "this would be the special lunch for Signor Basilica, would it?"
"It was meant to be," said the cook, still making ineffectual swipes. "Blasted thing won't come down, though."
Other pots were simmering on the long iron range. Nanny nodded towards them. "What's everyone else having?" she said.
"Mutton and cluty dumplings with slum pie," said the cook.
"Ah, good honest food,"
said Nanny, speaking of wall-to-wall suet oiled with lard.
"And there's supposed to be jammy devils for pudding, and I've been so tied up with this wretched thing I haven't even made a start."
Nanny carefully took the broom out of the cook's hands.
"Tell you what," she said, "you make enough dumplings and slum pie for 5 people, and I'll help by knocking up a quick pudding. How about that?"
"Well, that's a very handsome offer, Mrs.
Ogg.
The jam's in the jar, but..."
"Oh, I won't bother about jam," said Nanny.
She looked at the spice rack, grinned, and then stepped behind a table for modesty. Twing, twang, twong, twang.
"Got any chocolate?" she said, producing a slim volume. "I've got a recipe right here that might be fun."
She licked her thumb and opened the book at page 53. "Chocolate Delight with Special Secret Sauce."
Yes, thought Nanny, that would be fun.
If people wanted to go around teaching people lessons, other people should remember that those people knew a thing or two about people. Scraps of conversation floated out of the walls as Agnes wound her secret way down the forgotten stairs. It was thrilling. No one was saying anything important. There were no convenient guilty secrets. There were just the sounds of people getting through the day. But they were secret sounds. It was wrong to listen, of course. Agnes had been brought up in the knowledge that a lot of things were wrong. It was wrong to listen at doors, to look people directly in the eye, to talk out of turn, to answer back, to put yourself forward. But behind the walls, she could be the Perdita she'd always wanted to be. Perdita didn't care about anything. Perdita got things done. Perdita could wear anything she wanted. Perdita ex nit, mistress of the darkness, Magdalene of cool, could listen in to other people's lives and never, ever have to have a wonderful personality. Agnes knew she should go back up to her room. Whatever lay in the increasingly shadowy depths was probably something she ought not to find. Perdita continued downwards. Agnes went along for the ride. The pre-luncheon drinks were going quite well, Mr. Bucket thought. Everyone was making polite conversation, and absolutely no one had been killed up to the present moment. And it had been very gratifying to see the tears of gratitude in Signor Basilica's eyes when he was told that the cook was preparing a special Brindisian meal just for him. He seemed quite overcome. It was reassuring that he knew Lady Esmeralda. There was something about the woman that left Mr. Bucket terribly perplexed. He was finding it a little difficult to converse with her. As a conversational gambit, "Hello, I understand you have a lot of money, can I have some, please?" lacked, he felt, a certain subtlety.
Madam, he ventured, what brings you to our, city?
I thought perhaps I could come and spend some money, said Granny. Got rather a lot of it, you know. Keep having to change banks because they get filled up.
Somewhere in Bucket's tortured brain, part of his mind went whoopee and clicked its heels.
I'm sure if there's anything I can do, he murmured.
As a matter of fact, they're his, said Granny. I was thinking of...
A gong banged.
Ah, said Mr. Bucket. Luncheon is served.
He extended his arm to Granny, who gave it an odd look before remembering who she was, and taking it. There was a small, exclusive dining room off his office. It contained a table set for five, and looking rather fetching in a waitress's lacy bonnet, Nanny Ogg. She bobbed a curtsy. Enrico Basilica made a tiny strangling noise at the back of his throat.
"Excuse me, there's been a bit of a problem," said Nanny.
"Who's dead?" said Bucket.
"Oh, no one's dead," said Nanny. "It's the dinner. It's still alive and hanging on to the ceiling. And the pasta's gone all black, see? I said to Mrs. Clamp, I said, it may be foreign, but I don't reckon it should be crunchy."
"This is terrible. What a way to treat an honoured guest," said Bucket.
He turned to the interpreter.
"Please assure Signor Basilica that we will send out for fresh pasta straight away. What were we having, Mrs. Ogg?"
"Roast mutton with clouty dumplings," said Nanny.
Behind the face of Signor Basilica, the throat of Henry Slug made another little growling sound.
"And there's some nice slum pie with a knob of butter," Nanny went on.
Bucket looked around, puzzled.
"Is there a dog somewhere in here?" he said.
"Well, I, for one, don't believe in pandering to singers," said Granny Weatherwax. "Fancy food, indeed. I never heard the like. Why not give him mutton with the rest of us?"
"Oh, Lady Esmeralda, that's hardly a way to treat..."
Bucket began. Enrico's elbow nudged his interpreter, with the special nudge of a man who could see clouty dumplings vanishing into the long grass if he weren't careful. He rumbled out a very pointed sentence.
"Signor Basilica says he would be more than happy to taste the indigenous food of Ankh-Morpork," said the interpreter.
"No, we really can't," Bucket tried again.
"In fact, Signor Basilica insists that he tries the indigenous food of Ankh-Morpork," said the interpreter.
"Is it right? See," said Basilica.
"Good," said Granny, "and give him some beer while you're about it."
She gave the tenor's stomach a playful poke, losing her finger down to the second joint.
"Why, in a day or two I expect